Thanks for tuning in. From Municipal World, I'm Susan Gardner. This is the MW Shares podcast, where we share your stories, providing insights into the challenges and opportunities facing local governments and communities just like yours. The MW Shares podcast is powered by Shure Microphones. Thanks for joining us for another special episode of MW Shares, where we're working to keep listeners up to date on the municipal pandemic response. Today, we're excited to have Nolan Krause joining us. In addition to a successful business career in the private sector, Nolan served 10 years on council in the city of St. Albert, including 3 terms as mayor, before hanging up his council hat in 2017. He's joining us today to share his thoughts on the long-term financial impact of COVID-19 on municipalities. Welcome, Nolan.
Thank you, Susan. It's a pleasure, and thank you for having me.
Glad you could join us today. Let's talk about the financial impact. Of course, we've seen a lot of reports. FCM has done a report, sent that to the federal government. We saw something last week from RBC. What are some of the financial impacts of COVID-19 on rural municipalities in Canada?
Yeah, well, thank you, Susan, for that question. I think, first of all, before I answer that, the one thing about Canada is, and Canada, the territories and provinces, is we have a real broad number of definitions for our municipalities. We have hamlets and towns and villages and summer villages and municipal districts, counties, regional governments. So the impact on each one of these different categories across the entire country from coast to coast to coast is going to be just a little bit different in each jurisdiction. So as I explain some of the thoughts, maybe the term rural might not quite fit in some context, but to answer your question very specifically, the rural municipalities generally house a lot of the industry in Canada, and so that's where one of the effects of the pandemic will be: is will those industries restart? Will they have the same kind of tax structure and assessment base that they had going into the pandemic? And one might look at it and say, well, it's back to, it's going to be back to same old, but it won't necessarily. And I use perhaps the energy sector, the oil and gas sector, just as an example, where you've got kind of a double whammy going on with the oil and gas sector in Canada, and those provinces, jurisdictions who have industry relative to that may have a different assessment base, because the supply and demand has changed for the oil and gas sector over the number of years. So on the rural side, you're going to see, I think, a reconciliation in some ways of the industry impact as a result of COVID. So that's only one factor.
So you referred to the commercial sector and the impact of COVID. How is that going to translate for municipalities, especially those who are reliant on the commercial sector?
Oh, it's a great question. In one of your podcasts, Susan, you spoke of a speech by Anne Mulvale, who spoke about the, in any crisis, there are many balls in the air. And this is an example of that, where there are lots of balls in the air, commercial being one of them. Anne made a comment about which balls are going to drop, or which of those balls in the air are made of rubber and they're going to bounce back, and which of those balls are made of crystal and will not bounce back. And this is an example, the commercial side is an example where you worry about, will they truly bounce back completely? So very specifically, the commercial sector may be impacted because there's a number of effects of shopping patterns that have occurred during the pandemic, whether people are using online shopping or whether people are no longer going to be safe or feel comfortable going back into a commercial setting, whether it be large malls, whether it be just your local your local mom and pop shop. And so I would suggest that the municipalities need to be really on top of their commercial tax base, because the commercial sector will be impacted if there is a significant number of vacancies. And some of those commercial businesses are no longer going to reemerge. It wasn't very many weeks, as an example, into the pandemic when Army and Navy, who had stores in Western Canada and maybe even some in Eastern Canada, announced that they were not reopening. Well, that is a lot of storefront space in Western Canada. And certainly that's just one example of many that we're going to see a restructuring or a no longer reopening. So what does that mean to municipalities? Well, that tax base is no longer going to be available necessarily if the owner of that building is no longer able to pay their taxes, or if it sits vacant. And there would be many of those examples across Canada where the business itself may no longer be viable. And as a result of that, the municipality is left holding the bag when it comes to not having that tax revenue. So it is a very, very complex formula. So I spoke about the industrial side for the rural municipalities. This is the commercial side where the shopping malls and the general commerce is taking the buying of products. Restaurants, if you look at restaurants as part of that commerce, and the impact of restaurants may be profound for the next year. And so as a result of that switch of our shopping behavior, there may be a significant impact on the municipality's ability to generate tax revenue.
So we know, in efforts to support their small businesses right now, there are efforts in municipalities, large and small across Canada, from a community economic development standpoint, to help those businesses get online and create websites and e-commerce solutions to help them weather this storm. Do you think that that we're going to see some long-term changes as a result of this kind of shift in thinking and shift to, for many things, perhaps there isn't a need for a physical storefront for people to come in and browse any longer for some of these businesses. What do you think?
Well, I think there will be some shift. We've heard the words pivot used throughout our, throughout conversations in the last few weeks. And the question will be, it's a little bit like the comments of which balls that are in the air will land and bounce back, and which of those will shatter. I think that what we will do is we will see some pivoting occur where there's truly a change in our behaviors and our habits. And there are going to be some that just evolve to change. And so I don't know that we know enough yet about which ones are going to pivot. So there's going to be a lot of shifting and pivoting and evolving. And as you spoke to, there will be many aspects of that. So let's just look at two of them and the impact that it has in municipalities. The first one will be, as I spoke about, which is commercial space. And that is, have our buying patterns pivoted to the point where we're actually going to have an impact on the amount of commercial space and vacant commercial space in Canada? And that is going to take a little while as the economy reemerges, of just exactly how much office space and commercial space is impacted. And then there's the what I would call the office environment, that sector, and those are in the hamlets and the towns, the villages, and disproportionately likely in the cities. I'm not sure what the arithmetic would show around the percentage of tax revenue of, say, let's just use office towers as an example, the amount of tax revenue that would come from office towers compared to, say, lower level office space. But the question of, will those office towers be able to be rented, used, and taxes collected from them like they were in the past? I would suggest likely not. And the effect of that is in part because we are seeing a shift and maybe a complete pivot towards significant numbers working from home. And so whether it be a lawyer office or whether it be a head office from a corporation, will they choose to continue a new model of working from home? So I think that that's a little bit of a long answer to your question, but it is a real series of questions and uncertainties that we're heading into. And so what does that mean when it comes to municipal finances? What it means is that there may not be the building permits, there may not be the construction that we might normally see. There may not be the occupancy permit revenue that we normally see. There may not be the parking revenue of tenants that would historically be a significant revenue, especially for the cities in Canada. So it has a profound impact. The result of the impact of COVID is going to have a profound impact on tax revenue. I'll come back to in a moment collecting those taxes, which is an altogether separate topic.
Now we're going to take a short break before getting into the rest of the conversation with Nolan Crowes. Municipal World's executive membership delivers a powerful toolkit for managing Canada's towns and cities. You get the most complete suite of print and online news, plus high-impact communication services and exclusive member content, as well as information to help you and your community stay a step ahead. Executive membership is sized to fit your organization, from 5 to 50 users per membership, and members report saving an average of $1,287 per year just on job postings. It's a smart investment that can quickly pay for itself. Become a member today. Does your municipality have COVID-19 resource materials to share with other communities for reference? Examples might include bylaws, communications and news releases, reports, memos to council, to name just a few. Municipal World is managing a central repository for such documents as a resource for the municipal community as they develop their responses to the pandemic. You can log into your account to access the resource page where you can view and contribute documents. You can find it at municipalworld.com/coronavirus-docs. Without further delay, let's jump back into that conversation with Nolan Crowes. So, definitely some long-term impacts there. A lot of unknowns because, you know, of course, we don't know how some of these things are going to shake out and to what extent some of these pivots may be permanent or to some extent permanent in nature. You're based in Alberta. So in provinces like Alberta that have a substantial reliance on oil and gas or the energy sector, what's the impact of COVID on those related industries that is going to affect municipalities as well?
Susan, I think that the impact in Alberta may be the same as the impact across all provinces, and perhaps different to varying degrees. But I believe that what we're going to find is a disproportionate impact across Canada. And allow me to just to kind of go through that. I believe what we may see is the smallest municipalities and the largest municipalities seeing the largest impact. When I say the largest, let me deal with the cities. The largest 10 cities in Canada house about 17 million, which is essentially, for all intents and purposes, half of Canadians' population in the largest 10 cities. Those cities, including Edmonton and Calgary, as you asked about Alberta, but those cities, those 10 cities, they house the largest stadiums, the largest swimming pools and museums and galleries and professional sports facilities, the largest rec centers. And those cities are, for the most part, those are not tax generators. They are, they're often the operating cost is generally greater than the tax revenue, if even there's tax revenue that comes from some of them, like, you know, some of the public facilities.
Their quality of life amenities.
Yeah. So those large cities would have a disproportionate impact as a result of less revenue coming from those pools and stadiums and parking, whatnot. And the other side of that disproportionate impact is the fact that the largest cities also have some of the most difficult social challenges, and homelessness would be one that pops out. So we would see probably a disproportionate revenue impact for taxes and user fees in those large cities. The flip side is in your very small communities. And while hamlets, not all hamlets are small, Fort McMurray is the largest hamlet in Canada, which is 75,000 population, but for the most part, hamlets are generally small. But the hamlets and the villages and summer villages and smallest towns will also see a disproportionate impact on taxes, because generally they will often rely on provincial and federal support to prop up some of their infrastructure, to support their much of their infrastructure, because as standalone communities, they don't have a lot of tax diversity. So if there are some difficult times in your hamlets, villages, and small towns, I think you're going to see a disproportionate effect on the ability for those municipalities to survive. I believe. Certainly, you asked about Alberta. I believe probably the least affected of all of the municipal categories would be your mid-sized cities, your mid-sized counties, your mid-sized municipal districts. Because I believe what you're going to find is they don't have the burdens of the high cost burdens, and they don't have the high revenue burdens that perhaps if you lose one, it has a large impact on taxes. Now, my Alberta friends may not necessarily agree with me that are in that mid-size, but I think that the Edmontons and Calgarys and the Torontos and the Winnipegs will see a disproportionate effect of this of the pandemic.
I want to thank Nolan Kroos for taking the time to chat with us, and thank you for listening. Stay tuned for part two, where Nolan shares his thoughts on COVID-19's effects on the housing market, the importance of a regional approach, and the upcoming tax difficulties that municipalities across Canada face. If you'd like to hear more from Nolan, follow him on Twitter at Nolan_Kroos. We hope you've enjoyed this special episode of MW Shares Municipal Pandemic Response. If you found the information in today's episode useful, we hope you'll please drop us a note to let us know, or give us a shout on Twitter at Municipal World. Until next time, I'm Susan Gardner. This is MW Shares. Please stay healthy, stay safe.